We are coming close to the end of our study of the faith of heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. We've covered all the ones that there is any description about, starting with Abel and all the way up through the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, through Moses, Rahab, and the walls of Jericho. Tonight, as we come to the next verse, the author says, I'm running out of space. Must have been a preacher. Rambling on and on and on. But he says this in verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets. And I think he could go on and on and on. People who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, and so forth and so on. Many miraculous things. So what he's saying here is that the ones that he's given so far don't comprehend everybody that could be mentioned. But he names six people in particular that more could be said about it, and I think some of these are referenced in verses 33 and following of the things that were accomplished. Tonight I want to look at one of them, the first one that's there, which is Gideon. Then, Lord willing, next Sunday evening downstairs, we'll take another one of them. And then when I get back after my vacation, the last Sunday in November, we'll look at the end of the verses 39 and 40, and then faith made perfect. None of the people here had a perfect faith, and yet their imperfect faith was faithful enough that it merited an example in Scripture to encourage others. And the one I want to look at tonight, Gideon, also had an imperfect faith. When you say Gideon, probably the first thing that you're going to think about in his life was the fleece. And that's the question that I want to ask and answer tonight. Does faith require a fleece? Was Gideon wrong in requesting of God what he requested, or was he right? And interestingly enough, commentators are divided upon that. So we want to look at tonight at the testimony. It's found in the book of Judges, beginning in chapter 6. Actually, I'm going to try and cover both chapter 6 and 7 tonight, which means I'll have to put this thing in high gear to be out of here before next Sunday evening. Joshua chapter 6. We're going to see tonight that, what did I say, Joshua? I've been saying that all week long to myself. Judges chapter 6. We're going to see tonight that Gideon had an, I've been battling which word to use, four manifestations of faith, four qualities of faith, four different kinds of faith. I'm not exactly sure. So if, as I go through this thing, if you find a word that you like better than the others, you mark it down as what you want. If you have a word of your own that you think would be better for me, still mark your word down. But four different things tonight of Gideon's faith. First is found here in the beginning of chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth. Stop right there. Children of Israel were suffering. And The Midianites were the biggest ones that were the culprits. The Amalekites were with them and some other ones. But nonetheless, every time Israel was planting their crops, when it came to harvest time, the Midianites and the others would come up and, like bullies on the playground, they would just take whatever they wanted and left nothing. Drop on down a couple of verses, verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. The command was, don't fear these people. And Israel was fearing them. That's what they weren't obeying. And here's a prophet that says that, look, in your history, I'm the one who delivered you from the Egyptian bondage. I brought you through. I drove out your enemies. As long as you were fine with me in obeying my voice, things were going well. But you haven't obeyed it lately. It doesn't say here that Gideon heard these things. But I think it's reasonable to assume that he did. Why would a prophet say these things if the chief character is not going to hear it? I honestly believe that Gideon was one who heard these words, and it encouraged him. Verse 11, And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee. Now, where have I heard that one before? Isn't that interesting? That's the exact same words he's going to say to Mary over 1,000 years later. Nonetheless, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I think at this point, Gideon is looking around and you're saying, who, me? I'm hiding this stuff from the Midianites, and you're telling me that I'm a mighty man of valor? Oh, well. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Okay, God, you say that you're with us, but I'm saying, I hear this and I'm seeing that. And if you're with us, why aren't we doing much better than we're doing? It doesn't seem to go together. It doesn't mesh. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Oh, you're going to use me? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. That kind of sounds like Moses, when God commissioned Moses. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. In other words, you and I together as one. I will use you. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I think I am speaking to God. But I need to know that the word that I'm hearing is the word of God. I've heard the prophets before. I believe the word of God, but I'm questioning the reality. But if this is the word of God that meshes with what I heard before, then that's something different. Verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee, because if you're God, you are worthy of a sacrifice. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket and put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Well, that'll grab your attention, won't it? Here's a miracle done right before his eyes. The offering was consumed. And consequently, Gideon understood that he was speaking with God. Verse 22, when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Which, if you see God, you're going to die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. What those names mean? Who was paying attention? Yeah. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Here's the first quality of Gideon's faith. It was a settled faith that results in worship. He heard the word of God. He believed the word of God. It settled the questions in his heart. And when that happens, the ultimate reasonable response was worship. That's the way it should be. When a person hears the word of God, hears about sin, hears about the salvation that God is wanting to employ, and believes on it, the very next thing that should result is an act of worship. And that's exactly what Gideon did. In verse 24, he built an altar there unto the Lord. Well, what would he have sacrificed on that altar? May I suggest to you, it was himself. It was a Romans 12:1 type of sacrifice. Lord, here am I. I give myself to you. And that's an act of worship. A settled faith that results in worship. Well, verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he had feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now, that's reasonable. I'm going to run into opposition if I do it by day, and if I do it by night, I can get it done efficiently. No problem there. You might say, well, he was unbelieving. No, the Lord didn't tell him exactly when he had to do it. He just said, do it. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash. Now, I don't know how they did that unless it was the 10 men that were with them that squealed on them. Verse 30, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Now, I think Gideon understood this would be his fate if he was caught, which is why he did it by night. But why would you do that? Well, he just built an altar, and there he sacrificed himself. He sacrificed a living sacrifice. So if they're going to kill him, then they kill him. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. If Baal is really a god, let him defend himself. Why are you going to mess with Gideon here? Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Second quality of faith, now that it has been settled, it is an assured faith that obeys. The life of a believer, once it's settled that God is providing salvation, should be a life of obedience to the commands of God, even when those commands can be threatening. Gideon's faith was such. But now we come to the fun part. Verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and they went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet in Abiezer, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So he's calling in all the tribes that are around him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, mark those words. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a whole bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now the argument is this. If God allowed Gideon the opportunity for the fleece, it couldn't have been wrong. The opposite argument is this. If God said, I will save you and Israel by you alone, which he did, if you go back to verse 14, I believe it was, yes, verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I've sent you. Then there was no need for this. So what's the answer? Which is right? Well, in this case, I think Gideon was just a normal human being with feet of clay. He knew that God had said, I will save you. How many times in our lives have there been things that we know that the Word of God says that cause us to tremble and to be a little uncertain? And we say, I wonder if the Lord really said that. And so Gideon puts out the fleece. I need to know for sure. Well, in a perfect world, the fleece was unnecessary. And really, if he was really strong in the faith, it was unnecessary. But he was uncertain. And there are times that we will be uncertain. And there will be times when we will say, not am I uncertain, I don't even know for certain. For sure that God had said anything like this before. In knowing the will of God, I have said over and over again, there are three things that are absolutely necessary. Biblical absolutes, inner compulsion or desires of the heart, And the third thing is an open door of opportunity. I had a person that was counseling some time ago that had an option presented to him of two things, of choosing one of two things. And he wasn't sure which he wanted to choose. Both were good things. Both were in the biblical absolutes of revealed things of righteousness. And either one he could see himself doing and be happy in doing. But how do I choose? How do I know the will of God? And I said to him, here's where the fleece comes in. Ask God to lead and guide and direct. And if he wants you to do A, make the condition that you will present to this person conditions on which I will do this that are really beneficial to you, that you know that God has to do a work in that person's heart to allow you to do that. And if he says no, then you know the door's closed and you choose the other. So that's what he did. He put out his fleece. Prayed about it. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, do this kind of a work. Work in this person's heart that they will come back to me with an offer that is just fantastic. That's what happened. He knew the will of God. And consequently, here is Gideon with an uncertain faith that asks questions. Never, ever, ever be afraid to ask God questions. Lord, if you said this, show me for sure. Now, it would be great if your faith was strong enough to say, I know you said it and I'm going to act upon it. But if you're uncertain, never be afraid to ask God questions. Gideon was uncertain and he asked God questions and God answered his questions with the fleece. Consequently, now we come to chapter 7. Then Zerubbabel, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill in Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Two-thirds of the army went home because they were afraid. Now, if you were Gideon at this point, you're already outnumbered. And God says, you've got too many for me to work with. Most people would say, can I get a second opinion on that one? But you don't see any hesitation here from Gideon. And he went and he did what God commanded him to do. And they went home. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with me, the same shall not go. Okay, you're going to reduce it more? Okay, here we go. So he brought them down, brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So you have some that are getting down on their hands and knees, putting their face in the water, and sucking it up as through a straw. The others are going down, drawing the water up, and licking it that way. And the Lord says, I want those that drank like that. Now, it's been theorized as to why they did that. Scripture doesn't say. And maybe the thoughts are good, maybe they're not. Just that the Lord says, I want these 300. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. As I was preparing for this, I said to myself, I wonder about those 300. If you were one of them, God says, okay, there's going to be 301 of you that are going to face this army of thousands. How would you have thought? And I'm thinking, some of them would have said, I wish I would have put my face in the water. But never do you see any hesitation on Gideon's part. He had a confident faith. And what did that do? It overcame the enemy. I will not read the rest of the story. You know it. How they took the pitchers and broke them, and the Midianites were in absolute confusion, and they ran around killing each other. God did exactly what He said He was going to do, as He always does. What do we learn from this? Three things that I think we learned from Gideon's examples, manifestations, whatever, of faith. Person of faith is not primarily concerned with what they can or cannot do for God, but what God can do with them. God comes to Gideon in the very first, and what's he doing? Threshing wheat. He's not a soldier. He has no military experience. He doesn't have a weapon in his hand, as far as we know. God says, I'm going to use you, and you're going to defeat the Midianite, the whole Midianite army. You're going to take care of them. You and me, together. Gideon never volunteered for the job. And Gideon had some concerns. How can you use me? What do I have to offer you? But when God said to him, I can use you, a person of faith was not primarily concerned with those things. He was concerned with what God can do with him. As a pastor, I want to say, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do, Lord, we're going to do all these things for you. This church is going to be the best church on the face of the planet. Because, as you know, Lord, I've got all the gifts. All the abilities, all the education. Man, Lord, isn't it wonderful that you have me? That's not a person of faith, that's a person of pride. Person of faith says, Lord, here am I. Do with me what you desire. Or what you don't want me to do, keep me from. That was Gideon. Secondly, a person of faith is sometimes uncertain as to what God is going to do, but is still willing to be used. Still willing to be used of God. God, I don't know how you're going to pull this off, but I trust you to do it. When did God reveal the plan to Gideon as to how it was going to be after he reduced the army? Do you think if God came to Gideon at the very first and said, look, I got a plan on how you can get rid of these Midianites. What do you think? Gideon would have taken off running. But when he was uncertain, he questioned. And when he was convinced, he said, we can do this together. Thirdly, a person of faith can inspire a people of faith to accomplish great and wonderful things. How were those 300 willing to go? I think they looked at Gideon and said, if he can do it, so can we. If he trusts God, then God is worthy of our trust as well. And his faith was communicated. and a whole people, 300 of them, defeated a great army. Is our faith that which is encouraging others and trusting God to do great and wonderful things? Or are we running for the hills and sticking our face in the water and going home? God, help us to be Gideons. Amen. Father, we thank you for the day that we've had. We thank you for your word. How firm a foundation is laid for us in your word. A word that never, ever, ever fails. We praise you tonight for the victory that we have in Jesus. Lord, our faith sometimes is uncertain. Help us to question at those times, knowing that we have a God who is not offended by questions, that our faith might be strong. And on the things that we're certain of, may we go forth vitally united with you and accomplish great and wonderful things and be an encouragement to others to do the same. For that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.